Thank you for tuning in to the Essential Church Podcast, a church where we focus on restoration over denomination. If you're in the Virginia Beach area and would like to find out more about Essential Church, visit our webpage at essentialchurch.com.
Well, now we know who the brave and the crazy are in the church, and so I'm excited to see you all here this morning. I always like to start off the new year with kind of going back over and looking at the previous year and kind of where we left off. And normally I do it all in one service, and this year it was kind of the weather gave me a chance to do it in two, because the first series we did last year was like, I think, 9 weeks long. I think maybe the longest series I've ever done. And we were just looking at basically what would be coming in the coming year. And we said, you know, what about maybe this year we might be different? What about this year will be different than the last? And kind of halfway through the series, we crossed out the word maybe and just said, you know, we just need to make a resolution that this year it will be different. This year we'll do something different. And kind of my opening question for 2018 is, well, how did it turn out? How did last year turn out? You've got another new blank page. What I love about New Year's is the cyclical calendar that we use. Instead of time just sort of marching on into eternity, it sort of gives you a new, fresh start every single year. You know, the calendar does it later in life when you're in school. Sort of each new school year gives you that chance to sort of reinvent yourself every new school year. The new year gives you a chance to sort of reinvent yourself every year as adult. So it's just kind of nice to be able to have that time to refresh and move on. And you know, every year has its share of joy and adversity, and God brings you through things. We talked about last year about how adversity is what God uses to make changes in your life. Nobody changes if everything is comfortable and wonderful. I gave you an assignment last year. I don't know if you did it. If you didn't do it last year, you can try it again this year today. And that is, if you place a man on a couch and give him nachos and put football in front of him, I guarantee you he won't move for up to 8 hours as long as the football keeps playing. Guaranteed. However, you put any sort of disturbance there, whether it be an uncomfortable chair, have them run out of food, or have it be very loud in there where he can't hear, and you'll see that there'll be a movement. And the idea there is that adversity pushes us to change. Adversity moves us. And without adversity, and whatever adversity you face this past year, you'll stay exactly as you are. And so sometimes we look back on the year, we maybe look back over a very difficult year, and we say, why, God? Because where God wants to take you is different than where you've been. He wants you to become more like him. His goal for you, we started off last year, is his goal for your life is that you would become more like Christ. And he's willing to allow adversity to come in your life to see that happen. What's up, man? And I talked in there about how we started off last year looking in the book of Acts. Jesus gives him this command. He says, now you are to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And they're like, all right, it's great. We're going to go do that. But then you see after a few months pass, they haven't gone anywhere. They've stayed right there in Jerusalem. They don't have any intention of going anywhere. They got the apostles there, and they're just happy to hang out and stay there as long as, you know, until Jesus comes back, so to speak. And so what happens in Acts chapter 8? It says a great persecution broke out amongst the Christians, or against the Christians in the area. It says a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. And everybody except the apostles was then scattered. Guess where they were scattered? Throughout Judea and Samaria, which is exactly where Jesus was trying to get them to go. He basically said, listen, here's where I want you to go, all right? All right, we're going to go. And then they didn't go. It's like, you can go there the easy way, or you can be pushed there the hard way. And sometimes the adversity that comes into your life is because God is using whatever means necessary to get you to where he wants you to be in your life. And that's why it says in Romans 8:28 that we know that God works all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Why? Because his destiny, or his goal for you, his dream for you, his vision for you is that you would become more like Jesus Christ, is what it says in Romans chapter 28. And 29. We often leave off the 29 piece, which is his destiny, his goal for you, his hope for you, is that you would become like Jesus Christ, who is selfless and pure and righteous. And we don't get there the easy way, do we? So often we have to get there the hard way. And I say every year, I actually say in every sermon, that this life is about nothing more than a loving relationship with Jesus Christ that you'll enjoy for all eternity. And, you know, people say, well, where did that come from? I said, well, of course, it comes from all scripture, but I didn't really fully realize that until I had been through a year where I had literally lost everything else. Every other purpose you could have for life was sort of taken away from me. And so, you know, if this life is about family, you'll realize that family can be temporary. If this life is about your good health and everything that you have, that can be taken away from you. If this life is about the nice things that you have, that can be taken away. If it's about your friends, that can be taken away. If it's about your happiness, well, that can be taken away too. But this life, you'll find, is about nothing more than your loving relationship with Jesus Christ, because it's the one thing that still stands when everything else is taken away. And whatever you may have lost in 2017, what you haven't lost is the opportunity to have a loving relationship with Jesus Christ that will last for all eternity. And so, you know, it took me a lot of adversity to come to that realization and sort of figure that out. And I told you at the beginning of 2017 that God will do everything he can to make you more like Jesus. As you look back on this year, maybe that's what your year has been like. Maybe that's what he's brought you through. And you'll find that God is always moving forward. He wants you to take the lessons from your past. He wants you to live wisely in the future, live wisely in the present to create a new future. And he's always trying to move you into the future. Whether 2017 was a great year or a bad year, he's always trying to move you into what's next. And you see, because when he's moving you into what's next, it requires you to live by faith. You see, if next year is the same as last year, I can live on the familiar. Because anything that's familiar, I can do. You know, that's kind of like, isn't it nice when you get to the point in your job where you kind of know your job well enough that you don't even have to think anymore? You can just kind of do and react, and it's much easier at that point. You know, your 10th year teaching is a whole lot easier than that first year teaching, right? Because by your 10th year teaching, you already know everything. You've already got a lot of things figured out. You know discipline procedures. You know how to teach the curriculum. You know how to teach for the SOLs. And not a lot catches you by surprise. You watch some of those veteran teachers, all kind of crazy stuff. They'll have the worst students in the world, and they'll just be walking through like they're floating through air. How do they do it? Because they're teaching on the familiar. They're moving on the familiar. And God doesn't allow life to continue to be familiar. He is always moving you into something new. Because when he moves you into something new, you have to live by faith and not by sight. Because we always resist the change where God is going to bring us. If you look at what God, he's always focused on your future. That's why he doesn't put any stock into regret. He always puts everything into repentance. Repentance is if you get in this situation again next year, what will you do? I don't care what you did last year. Last year's in the past. Jesus Christ died to pay for all your sins of the past. 2017 is over. The mistakes you made is over. The question is, what are you going to do in 2018? Because I'm worried about repentance. That's what I'm always focused on with repentance. Is when you get the same situation next year, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to make a change, or are you going to go back to the same place that you were? The other thing about the future is you have to have this sense of trust. When you're living by faith and not by sight, when you're living by faith and not in the familiar, you have to always have this sense of trust and faith in God that whatever God has in store in the future is going to be better than anything I've experienced in the past. Whatever God has in store for the future is going to be better than anything I've experienced in the past. When you lose sight of that, you'll always want to go back to the familiar no matter how bad it was. You know, think about the Israelites. They come out of Egypt. They're in slavery in Egypt. They get into the desert. And what do they say? We want to go back to slavery. Are you kidding me right now? Hundreds of years you cried out to get out of slavery. You finally get out of slavery, and what do you want to do? Well, the desert's hard. We didn't expect this. I want to go back to slavery. No, you don't. So then, once the familiarity of the desert sets in, and they realize that where God's going to lead them next is into a battle for the promised land, what do they say? We'd rather wander in the desert, the nomadic lifestyle of the desert, than go to something new or different that God has for us. And we just can't trust that what God would have for us out there could possibly be better than what we're doing right now. And so believe it or not, they would actually choose to wander and spend the rest of their life in the wilderness, which they did, than to step into the future that God had for them, because they lost sight of the idea and the reality that whatever God has in your future is better than anywhere you've been up until now. And sometimes we have a hard time understanding how could God possibly move me anywhere better? Why can't God just tell me what's in store? I don't really like the whole idea of the uncertainty. I mean, God would just tell me what would happen in the future. If you tell me what would happen in the future, it'd be so much easier to step into it. And to that, I ask you this. If God were to have told you on January 1st, 2017, everything that was going to happen last year, would you have said yes or no? See, now some of you are like, yeah, it was a good year. Some of you are like, nope, skip it. Just fast forward that. Let's move on to whatever's coming now. You see, the thing is you couldn't handle everything that's going to be coming your way in 2018. You can't handle it all at once. You could not possibly, if God were to tell you everything that were going to happen, some of you would be like, no, I'm not going to sign up for that. I've had several years of my life where if God had told me on the front, I'd say, nope, no way, skip this one. Nope, we're moving on. And the thing is like, even in some years, you'll get so battle-hardened in life because you've gone through so much, you'll think to yourself, there is nothing God could possibly throw my way this year that I haven't already dealt with. But the thing about trials, it says in Scripture that trials are variegated. It's an agricultural word. If you know what a variegated tree is, it's one where we have those in Florida where they'll take different kinds of orange trees and they'll basically take the stems, they'll cut them, and they'll put them onto a tree and let it grow into it. So you can have an orange tree that has like four different kinds of oranges on it. So that way, if some of them get damaged or different times of year, they'll continue to be blooming all year long. It's kind of a neat thing. So variegated, very different kinds will come into your life. And so you'll have sometimes where you'll go through a mental trial. You'll go through a health struggle. You'll go through a relational thing. You'll go through experience with death. You'll go through loss. You'll go through extreme prosperity, which, yes, that itself is a trial. I always say that there's no way I'm ever going to win a lottery because that's just a trial I probably couldn't handle. I mean, you give me five, anybody even know what the last year there was almost a $500 million lottery that just went by? Nobody even knows anymore because we really don't care. It's like, oh, we've seen that so many times. Who even cares? Remember like the first time there was a $500 million lottery, like everybody bought a ticket? Now I'm half of y'all didn't even know what was going on. You were so preoccupied with snow. I didn't realize it until I woke up this morning. I looked on Yahoo. It was like, one winner, $540. I'm like, wow, $540 million, one person? I didn't even know that was going on. Anyways, moving on. So just when you think you've got everything figured out, God throws something else at you. I always love what comedian Tig Notaro said. She did a comedy show right after she was diagnosed with cancer. Now, the same week she was diagnosed with cancer, she watched her mother die in the hospital and went through a relational breakup. And just imagine all of that in a span of 1 week's time. And she says, well, you know, I just kept clinging on to this one little hope that, you know, at least God won't give you more than you can handle. There's always that. Says, I just kind of picture God sitting up in heaven and saying, you know what? I think she can take a little more. And the angel's looking back going, God, are you nuts? Are you insane? Nah, I think we can throw a little bit more her way. Let's see if we can do this to her. Says, you know, sometimes you go through years where you kind of look at God and you go, God, seriously, you are pushing me beyond what I can bear. And you see, that's where God's saying, yes, it is beyond what you can bear. You can't bear this without me. And if I have to push you to the point where you rely on me, that's okay. Because your life is about nothing more than a relationship with me. And I have to push you to extremes to get you into a close relationship with me, so be it. Nothing's off limits for God when it comes to that. And once we realize that this is what life is all about, it kind of changes our mindset. And we just can't handle sort of comprehending everything that could come our way, which is why Jesus says this most timeless truth. Worry about today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Everything that's coming up this year, maybe some of you already know the stuff that's coming up this year, the challenges you're going to face this year. Maybe you've got a teenage daughter who's going to start dating this year, or maybe a son who's going to start driving this year. And just the whole thought of that is overwhelming to you in one moment. Or maybe you're thinking about the great tasks you have at work, or maybe with school, or in your marriage, and everything you're going to have to rebuild this next year. And it's just almost overwhelming. And Jesus says, listen, don't take in the whole year. Just take on one day. This year has got enough worries of its own. If I would have told you everything you were going to have to deal with this past year, it would have crushed you. So just take it one day at a time. I will be with you every single day and every single moment. Today is enough worries of its own. Just focus on that. So for some of you, you're coming out of a very difficult year, and your tendency is to be scared that God could ever do anything good in your life in the coming year. For some of you, though, your year last year was so good, you're kind of worried about this next year because it could never possibly live up to what last year was. And so sometimes we're scared about the future, or paralyzed about the future simply because last year was so good. This happens several times in the folks you read about in the Bible. One of my favorite stories is in the book of Ezra, where what's happened in the nation's history is that God's people had been conquered by the Babylonian Empire. Later on, the Persian Empire comes and conquers Babylon and sends people back to their homeland. And so the Israelites come back to their homeland, and they find everything is in shambles, completely destroyed. And so they relay the foundation of the temple to rebuild the temple. And they're all excited, and they're cheering because God has brought them back to their city. He's on the path to restoration, and there's so many of them are just so excited this is happening. And it says this in Ezra chapter 3. It says, with praise and thanksgiving, they sang to the Lord, he is good. His love towards Israel endures forever. And all the people gave a great shout of praise to the Lord because the foundation of the Lord's house had been laid. Well, not all the people. There's some of the older priests and Levites and other leaders who had seen the first temple. They wept out loud when they saw the new temple's foundation. But everybody else was shouting for joy. So what's going on there? You can almost picture these old farts sitting around going, it's not as good as it used to be. You know, whatever you kids are doing, it's not like it was back in my day. Yeah, this is great and everything you're doing, but you know, there was a time when the glory of God was here and that's long. Why do I go into a southern accent whenever I go to that? I don't know. Sorry, maybe I'm channeling somebody from my past. I don't know. But you can picture the mindset. And I never want to get to that point where I look to anything that God is doing in the now and in the present and be so unwilling to accept the good of today because I'm still living on yesterday's memories. Only Uncle Rico thinks that going back to 82 would somehow be better. If you know Uncle Rico. Some of you don't, that's okay. You can look that up later. Which is why to these very same people, God says to them in Isaiah 43, he says, listen, he says, let me back up. It says, forget the former things and do not dwell on your past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Even right now it springs up. Can you not see it? Well, if you're so focused on all the great stuff that was in the past and all the good things you had in the past and the relationships you had in the past and everything that was good about your life before something happened, everything that was good about your life back in the day, and you look to the future and somebody says, well, this could be great. God could still be doing something great in your life. There could be something better happening. How could there ever possibly be anything better than what we experienced? That's what the old folks are saying. How could God ever do anything better than what I've experienced? I've reached the pinnacle, I've reached the best, and nothing will ever get better than what I experienced a couple of years ago or a couple of centuries ago or whatever, however old you are. I don't know how old you are. I guess it wouldn't be centuries, would it? If you get to the point where you think that God cannot possibly top himself for what he's done in your life, there'll be a despair that sets in. And you'll be the only one sitting there crying and weeping and pouting. And everybody else is saying, look how amazing this is. Look how good this is. You will not be able to enjoy the beauty of a moment if you're living in the past. You'll have difficulties with your teenagers and you'll think to yourself, you know, I just wish it was back like it was before, back when they were just in preschool. And the preschool parents are like, you nuts? Here, let me let you borrow one for a week. You know, we always go back and think that some other good old day is better than everything we're experiencing now. But so, no, it's different. It's different. And different doesn't mean worse. And different doesn't mean this isn't as good. It's just different. And if you can find the beauty and the joy of what God is doing new and different, you can embrace what God's doing right now and find the great joy in it. This was different. And the old farts were sitting there going, yeah, but it's not as good. I won't go more drastic there. I'm just going to leave that there. All right, so moving on. Last year, I also gave you two challenges for the year. I don't know if you remember what they were, which is why I want to go back and remind you of them. Two challenges of the year. One was to deal with your sin. The other one was to pray every single day. So deal with your sin piece. So, you know, this year, what if you dealt with your sin? What if you really took on the task and said, I'm going to get serious about this. I'm going to finally get rid of this. I'm going to get rid of this thing that's been nagging there, dealing with. I'm going to get this out in the open. I'm really going to deal with it. I'm going to quit hiding about it. I'm going to quit making excuses about it. I'm really going to deal with it. And we started off looking at a sort of obscure verse out of Nahum, because not many of y'all have read Nahum a lot. Some of y'all don't even know Nahum's actually in the Bible or if I'm making this up. Nahum starts off, and I love the way Eugene Peterson translates it in the message. He says, God doesn't lose his temper. He's powerful, but it's a patient power. Still, nobody gets by with anything. Sooner or later, everybody pays. It's going to come out sooner or later. And I made this statement at the beginning of last year. Don't confuse God's patience with God's acceptance or tolerance. Just because God hasn't judged you yet for it, just because he hasn't brought it out in the open yet, just because he hasn't exposed this junk, just because you haven't dealt with the serious consequences of everything you've been covering up all these years, don't think that God's patience is God's excuse for it. Don't think that God's patience in your sin is God saying, okay, I don't care about that. No, he's giving you, and this is what I said last year, I said, he's giving you enough time to deal with it before it's got to be exposed for everybody to see. And when that happens, it ain't pretty. It ain't fun. It's not something you're going to enjoy. And if that's what it's going to take in 2018, be sure your sin will find you out. As he says in Nahum, listen, sooner or later, everybody pays. It's going to come out. So the question is it going to come out on your terms with you dealing with it? Or is it just going to come out like it's got to come out? And I said, in order to do this, I said, number one is you got to realize that you don't have forever on this. And second of all, you've got to take a sober judgment. Over in the book of Romans, he says, everybody should have a sort of sober assessment of their life. For the by grace by given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the faith that God has attributed to each one of you. So basically, sober up enough to see through the fog of deception. We are all blind to our sin. We all look at our own sin and we think to ourselves, oh, it's not that bad. It's not that big of a deal. I can deal with it. I can handle it. And we look at alcoholics and say, yeah, that's what the people would say that. No, I say that about all my sin too. I think to myself, I've got this under control. I'm dealing with it. I'm managing it. No. Think of yourself with sober judgment. If you stood before a holy God, would your knees buckle in light of what you've been doing? Isaiah, who was a prophet before God, I'm sure he's lived a holier life than you or I ever have, when he comes into God's presence, the first thing he does, he cries out, "Woe am I, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, for I am undone." What would it be like if you were to come into God's presence right now? He would bring everything to light. He says, look at your life with a sober judgment. And I gave this crazy message last year. I don't even know if it even made it to the internet, where basically all I did was chew you guys out for a week. Do you remember that one? I don't know if you remember that one or not. I just basically got up here and read you all the Riot Act and wasn't very nice that morning. It was kind of one of those weird messages. I remember sitting down with Alex and saying, you know, should I do this or not? And he goes, yeah, do it. I'm thinking, wait a minute, you're not the one having to get up there and do this. But I don't know, maybe some of y'all forgot that I got in your face about all of that. Because sin will convince you that something that's completely ugly is beautiful. And your own rationale will begin to convince you that something that's destructive is actually helpful or justified. It'll persuade you that this is the only way to escape what you're dealing with right now. And so you'll go on making destructive decisions, and the question is it working out? Is it going like you thought it would? Is it really making you happier? Is it bringing you closer as a couple? Is it building your relationships and making you more like the person you want to be? Or is it slowly but surely tearing everything about you up and leaving you in destruction? And I gave this probably the worst analogy of the year that we started off the year with. I said, sin that you haven't dealt with is like a baby carrying around a load. Why do I have to repeat this analogy? I just couldn't help it. And what happens is that you don't want to, you know, go through, you don't want to stop playing because it's just so warm and so nice on a cold day like this. And you completely deny the reality of the source of the stench in your life and where this warmth is coming from in favor of playing in it just a little bit longer. And it's a horrible analogy, I know. But it's so accurate. That's your sin. You've gotten warm and cozy with it. And you deny the stench that everybody else around you is dealing with. And you just want to play in it long enough until you got a rash that's going to take quite a while to deal with. There it is. I've left that one there. Hopefully we won't have to repeat that next year. And is that enough to bring you to repentance where you say, you know, I don't want 2018 to deal with this again. I said last year I was going to deal with it and I didn't deal with it. It's funny. One of the greatest joys I have as a pastor is seeing people deal with their sin and getting to a new place. Some of the greatest joys I have right now is looking out and knowing what some of y'all were dealing with going into 2017 and knowing that so much of that is behind you and knowing you're in such a better place than you were this time last year. It's the greatest joy I have as a pastor. What's the most depressing thing as a pastor? The exact opposite. Watching somebody stand right there on the precipice of making a great decision and going right back to the junk that they've been dealing with. And going right back in it and saying, it's just not worth it. I just can't do it. I just don't want to do it. It's not that bad. It's not that big of a deal. Or just lying to me for quite a while until finally it all blows up in their face. I hate that. That's the worst thing about being a pastor is watching somebody make a dumb decision. So in 2018, which one will you be? You be the one that, you know, come January of 2019, I look out there and you know, I have this sense of smile in the back of my head where I just say, you know, I know where that person's been. I know what this past year has been like, and they've made so many great changes in their life. They're in such a better place right now. I just love what God's doing in their life. Or we'd be that guy who says, you know, it ain't that bad. The last thing I challenged you with last year was will you pray every single day? Will you pray every single day? And a lot of you made that commitment, and you look back over 2017, you're like, you know, I can't remember the last time I prayed, actually, other than in church when we did it here together. You know, prayer will change you. It'll change your relationship with God and will change your outlook on life. I mean, if you really are about establishing a loving relationship with Jesus Christ that you'll enjoy for all eternity, that's what life is really all about. Why not begin the relationship now? You can't have a relationship with somebody you don't communicate with. It just doesn't work. You've seen marriages that try this. You've seen business partnerships that try this. Oh, we're just going to work together. We're not going to talk or communicate. We're just going to, you know, send an email from time to time for only the necessities. It breaks down. It breaks down. It breaks down. What would this year be like if you were to spend every single day in prayer with God? And just talk with him. Tell him about your day, your highs, your lows. If you're going to step into the future, you've got to trust that what he has in store is in your best interest. That's going to be better than anything you've ever experienced before. If you ain't talking with him, I don't know how you're going to walk with him. I don't know how that works out. I just don't know. I know I've been through periods of my life where I've gotten bitter towards God and not want to say anything. What I love about the psalmist, though, is that even when you read through the psalms, you'll find there are psalms where the guy never has anything nice to say towards God. He's just mad. I think it's like Psalm 82 is one of those. He's just bitter and he's mad and basically says, God, you're not here for me. You stink. My life is miserable. I thought you cared. You're nowhere to be found. Amen. Peace out. In Jesus' name. And you look at that and you go, why is that in the Bible? Because it's real. And you see, even though he has nothing nice to say, who's he still talking to? God. You'll read through sections of Job, and Job's in the same boat. He is so mad at God, but what's he doing? He's talking to God. He's accusing him and saying all these bad things and saying, you know, you won't give me a fair trial. You can't look at this impartially. I wish there was somebody who could stand between you and me because everybody would agree that what you've done to me is wrong. And God just listens, and he listens. At the very end of all of his listening, he just gives Job a new perspective. And sometimes that's all the change you need, and sometimes just going to God in prayer changes your perspective on things. So what would 2018 be like for you? What was 2017 like for you? That opening segment is one of my favorite clips. It's where he says, the whole thing of life can be summed up in this. Choices. You get a choice. From the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, why was there a tree of knowledge of good and evil in there? Because God wanted you to have a choice. You can choose to grow in your relationship this year. Or you can just exist. And you can make life about something else. And then you can wonder on the back end why it didn't work out, where it all went, what's it all about. Or you can face into this year and say, God, whatever comes, I know this life is all about a relationship with you. And whatever comes into my life or leaves my life this next year, you'll still be here. And whatever this year has in store, you'll be there with me. And I have this one promise to cling on to, is that my future will be better than anything I've experienced in the past. And for some of you, that may be hard to believe because your past was so great. For some of you, that may be hard to believe because your past was so difficult, you just don't think that God could ever do anything good ever again in your life. Your future will be better than your past. I know the plans I have for you. I know what I've got in store. I know that you will see the goodness of the Lord once again in your lifetime. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your love and for your grace. I thank you, Father, for the promise of a new year. Thank you, Father, for your redemption and your forgiveness. That with a new year, Father, you can give us a new heart and a new spirit, a clean slate. Father, may we hear your call and your request that we would put our past in our past and not move into the future with any regret. Father, we would deal with our sin once and for all. Embrace the future and all the uncertainty that it holds. And commit this year, Father, not to get in the gym more, not to change our diet more, but to talk with you more. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Essential Church Podcast. Let me encourage you to pause for a moment and reflect on what you've heard. It's not the hearing of the word, but the application that makes all the difference.